I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. This is where Catholicism and the culture intersect, and we deal with it through prayer, penance, and full contact Catholicism. I'm reporting for duty. What about you, Terry?
I am, Jesse, reporting for duty. Today's going to be a very interesting show. It's just the facts, and I think it's, again, we're coming up with a big election coming up in November 3rd, and we need to evaluate where these particular political people stand, and it's important we do that. So we're going to talk about issues on that. For example, scoring Biden and Trump on religion. What's the story on that? We're also going to be talking about Black Lives Matter is endangering blacks. What's that about? How could that be? You'll find out. And then my fascinating topic at the end, Jesse, we're going to talk about the frequency of problems in liturgical translations. We've been through some, you know, hilly rides up and down on the translations for Mass. And I think that we should really look at it in a real, you know, organized way and say, what's good, what's bad, where have we been, where are we going? So, and much, much more. We've got the scriptures for today of daily Mass. And Jesse reads that, always gives a good commentary on that. We've got a Bishop Sheen quote. And I want to just say, for all those who are listening right now, we're in the middle of just starting the painting job on our chapel, our studios and our offices. If people want to make a little donation, I don't ask unless I need it, but we do need it. It's about a $13,000 bill to paint all of the facility. So if you want to join in and send us a check, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Say if you want to help with the painting, or call us at 877-526-2151. Jess, let's get to the scripture reading for today. It's soul food time.
Absolutely. So if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe
button. Absolutely.
Hit the bell so you can be notified and you can share the show with others.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. It's the focus is on mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said to his disciples, To you who hear I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes every cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Praise
Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. So let's go through this.
There's a lot here. Just take your time on it.
Having love for your enemies.
You
yeah, this is powerful
this is it.
Stuff.
Yeah, it is.
This is a revolutionary commandment.
You
think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because under the Old Testament.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, under the Old Testament, loving one's neighbor, it meant that you loved everybody under the covenant family of Israel. But now what our Lord Jesus Christ does, he widens the scope of charity mm-hmm. in the new covenant. Now he commands something radical.
Exactly.
He commands us to reach, to love everyone, even our enemies. So this exceeds the demands of the old covenant. Another thing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, says here, where he says in verse 29, to him who takes away. So he's warning us against retaliation. You know, even if somebody would rob your cloak, that's your outer garment, he's basically teaching that as followers of Christ, we must resist the impulse to personal revenge. In other words, we must be willing to part with our belongings in the face of persecution, because that's exactly what was happening at the time of Christ. They were being persecuted, and he was admonishing them against revenge. Another thing in verse 31, he's talking about the golden rule here. It says, and as you wish that men would do to you, so do to them. That's the golden rule. Mm-hmm. It essentially summarizes the moral law of the new covenant, and it's a sure test to distinguish virtue, good habits from vice, bad habits. And there's also similar statements, by the way, on the golden rule made in the Old Testament.
That's so
it's,
right.
It's not just in the New Testament. You find that also in Tobit chapter 4, verse 15, and Sirach chapter 31, verse 15. It's funny, those are these two deuterocanonical books that Protestants say they don't quote the gospel. Really? Those two deuterocanonical books are the only place where you find the golden rule replicated. And also, if you do all these things, Jesus gives us the most important accolades. He says, you'll be called a son of the Most High God. Well, what does that mean? Okay. A son of the Most High God, it means that you're part of the family of God the Father. That's what he means. But you have to live without holding grudges and without having enemies, because think about the way we don't deserve God's friendship and reconciliation. So we have to imitate God in the way he's forgiven us through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And we have to forgive others who have offended us likewise, just like Christ showed us on the cross. I mean, this is a high calling. Don't get me wrong. And don't think like, Jess, you probably got this mastered. No, I don't.
Nope.
Okay? Far from it. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. I know what Jesus says. And boy, oh boy, that's still the goal for me. And the last point that he makes here in verse 36, he ends by saying, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Again, that's the towering mandate in this teaching of Christ. And this comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, where basically we're asked to imitate Yahweh's mercy. But there's a subtle difference between the Old and the New Testament, because the pursuit of holiness in ancient Israel, it meant that God's people would separate themselves from the Gentiles because the Gentiles were unclean. But now Jesus Christ is giving us a new level of holiness. He's saying that mercy means that there's no longer any division between Jew and Gentile. There's no segregation, like the Democrats push in this country, by the way. There's no segregation in Christianity. And we can't disqualify people by saying you're a Gentile, you're this, you're that, and the other. All of us enter the family of God by God's grace, and we're called to be merciful to one another. Terry?
Jesse, the part that says, for the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. I think of the COVID-19 right now, and I have to be consistent. And this is a chapter 6 that I usually read when it comes to my examination of conscience, because it really is a tough thing to fail. But I think of, like, for example, let's say, for example, there was a politician who felt like, we're going to close all the hair salons, but I get to go to the hair salon because I'm the, Speaker of the House. Let's just say that happened. And that would be hypocrisy, because what you're saying is we have to close them all down. But for me, I don't have to pay attention to that because I'm the Speaker of the House. And so for the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured. So when someone breaks the rule because they're somebody important, I just have to say that just because you're Jesse Romero or Terry Barber, that means nothing. You have to follow the same rules that God has given to us. And so I just use that as an example, because it's pretty common that politicians seem to talk in both sides of their mouths. That's all I'm saying, Jess. All right, let's get Bishop.
Yeah, Terry, and our Lord tells us, when you get invited to the banquet feast of God, don't take the most important seats. Wait, right. Sit in the back and wait till the Lord calls you forward. And this is what a lot of politicians do, Terry.
Yeah.
They take the most important seats in society, and they throw the rest of us in the back of the bus.
And that's why I love to see humility among a politician, rarely seen, but it's really important. But let's move on to Fulton Sheen. Let's bring him in. Full Sheen ahead. And this is about persecution, and we have a persecution starting up here in our country. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. One great mysterious fact that is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of our faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. So, Jess, my take on all this is that the church is being purified and there's going to be a big catch when we get through all this persecution that's coming down our way. What's your take on that, Jess?
Yeah, without a doubt, you look at paragraph 676 mm-hmm. of the Catechism.
Yep.
The persecution of the church is here.
Yep.
We have to go. The mystical body of Christ has to undergo the passion like Christ the head underwent his passion. And all this is just, it just makes us realize that we're closer and closer
That's right.
to that final day of our exit interview with the Lord Jesus Christ or the second coming of Christ, one or the other.
Amen. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Black Lives Matters endangers blacks. How is that? Well, when we come back, we'll share that with you. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I always like to tell people, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I would be billionaires. Because you know what? We know the end of the story. We win. And Jesus Christ is why we do this show. And if we can help you fall in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, that's our goal every day we get up here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn the dial. Tell your friends. Like us on the YouTube channel right now. Tell your friends to join us. We want to teach you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Did you know that Black Lives Matters, the organization, actually endangers blacks?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Dr. Bill Donahue, he's a sociologist by training. He wrote an article on this very topic. He's the president of the Catholic League. He says that one of the greatest threats to the health and safety of black Americans today, it's not the police. It's Black Lives Matters. And the facts are incontrovertible. Crime is a serious problem in many black inner city neighborhoods. And that's why a recent Gallup survey found that most blacks, get this, 81%.
Yep.
They want the police to spend the same amount of time or more time in their area. If most blacks thought the cops were the enemy, they would not want a police presence where they live. But again, I repeat, 81% of blacks want police in their towns. So, why is Black Lives Matter such a threat to the health and safety of black people? I'll tell you why. Because it wants to eliminate the police force and empty the prisons. Are you kidding me? If this were to happen, blacks would suffer the most devastating effects.
Yep.
And in fact, on the website of Black Lives Matter, yep, there's a petition calling for a national defunding of police, while others are also calling to defund the police. Black Lives Matter is front and center. Also, Terry, Antifa's calling to defund the police as well. And guess what? When you type in Antifa in an internet server or on your iPhone, guess what it does? It directs you to Joe Biden's website.
Unbelievable.
Coincidence?
No.
I don't think so. Terry?
I just want to jump in. Yesterday, I spent 2 hours on the streets with a microphone in my hand and a camera on me interviewing people. Because I'm doing it, we call it Virgin Most Powerful, takes it, goes out to the streets. Jesse,
Man on the street.
Yeah, man on the streets. Yeah. And I did about 2 hours of recording, so probably 80 or 100 people I actually interviewed. Just little sound bites out in front of Walmart, out in front of the post office. And Jesse, I met a gentleman who was with Black Lives. And he said exactly what this article just said. He said, yeah, we need to defund the police. We need to get everybody out of jail. This is wrong, what our culture is doing. We have to change the way we think. And so, you know, I'm listening to him, and he has no idea what I'm thinking. I go, okay, well, thanks for your comments. See, because what I want to do, Jess, as you know, I'm going to take that soundbite, and it'll be part of we going out on the streets. But that was just one person confirming. You know, I wanted to say that to him. I said, well, you know, Black Lives Matters, it's right on your website, But I didn't say that. I just wanted to get his comment.
Right.
Because in this article, Jesse, it makes it very clear that Black Lives Matter is really bad for not just the people who are in rough areas, but think about in Chicago where, you know, the Black Lives Matter the least because of all the shootings that are going on routinely, especially on weekends. We hear about it all the time. And Jess, let me ask you a question. Why do you think who runs Chicago? I want to understand, Jesse, what's going on? Why are all these shootings and the government, the state, is, you know, the governor, is it the mayor? What's happening? Why is it that we just look the other way because they're shooting each other every weekend and nothing is being done? What is the problem there? I know the answer.
I'll tell you why. It's just it's political correctness.
Well, who's running the town?
These are blue states. It's blue states, blue cities, run by Democrats. Most of them are black Democrats, black liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
And what are they? What are they basically? It's not a high priority.
No.
All the black on black killing. Not a high priority.
Terrible.
For Democrat politicians, even black Democrat politicians. And so let me give you a comparison, Terry.
Yeah, tell me.
Blacks getting shot by white officers is such a small, minuscule problem in America. But they make it, they act like this is the major problem in America, like blacks are being shot every single day by white officers all across the country. They're dropping like flies. No. The fact of the matter is 6,000 black Americans shoot 6,000 other black Americans and kill them with a knife, gun, or bat, or beat them to death every year. You hear nothing.
Can you repeat that again, Jess?
I'll give you...
How many?
6,000 blacks.
Yep.
6,000 blacks kill 6,000 blacks a year with either a gun, a knife, or a bat, or beat them to death.
So sad.
You don't hear anything about that.
No.
And so let me give you some proportionality.
Okay.
It would be like, okay, you're working in a factory. Oh, you scratched your shoulder. You know, you got too close to the corner of a shelf and you scratch your shoulder and you go back to your post where you're working. Oh, and the machine you're using cuts your arm off. Now, they run you to the paramedics come. They take you to the hospital because you got your arm cut off of the machine that you're operating at work. Your left arm got completely cut off and you're bleeding. So you're raced to emergency. But your right arm, about 2 hours before that, you came too close to the corner shelf and you scratch your shoulder. Here's the equivalent of whites cops shooting blacks versus black on black crime. Mm-hmm. Imagine you going to the emergency hospital and telling the doctor, he sees your left arm is cut off and you're bleeding like crazy. You're about to die. And the doctor says, let me treat you for the scratch on your right arm.
I get it.
That you got by walking too close to the corner shelf. As your left arm is a stump and all the veins are sticking out and the arteries and you're bleeding out. And the doctor he's treating your right shoulder because you have a scratch on it that you got 2 hours ago. This is the proportionality, Terry.
Yeah.
They're focusing on the scratch on the shoulder.
Yeah.
White officers shoot black suspects versus the left arm that's been completely ripped off and they're bleeding to death. That's black on black crime. That's the best way I can show you the proportionality and the lack of focus.
Well, that's a good analogy, Jesse. And I think of that analogy even with the unborn blacks. A high proportion of the abortions in our country are with African Americans, and that's very sad. And what's really sad is that Black Lives Matter could care less about that. So if we really look at the number of people who are being killed that are black, Black Lives Matter is doing what you just said. I got a scratch on my shoulder. That's what I'm going to focus on. You know, not my arm being cut off, or not the millions of babies that have been aborted that are African Americans. No, we won't talk about that.
That's the arm cut off.
I get the arm cut off of the body. Good analogy.
We're not focusing on the real issue here. Yeah. That's killing us.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the scratch on my right shoulder that I got 2 hours ago because I got too close to the shelf. Terry, the fact is,
yeah, tell me.
On the website of Black Lives Matter, it lists. Prison abolition as one of its objectives.
Give me a break.
And in June, Black Lives Matter said this goal was urgent. Here's the two goals of Black Lives Matter as of June. Hashtag defund the police and hashtag defund Department of Corrections because they work in tandem.
Right.
So the rise of mass incarceration occurred alongside the rise of militarized and mass policing. So they got to abolish this system. Let me give you some proportionality to all this, Terry.
Sure, tell me.
Joe Biden, in 1994, he helped write this. It's called an infamous crime bill.
Right.
The Violent Crime Control Act of 1994 and the Law Enforcement Act. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? This bill has been the driving factor for more mass incarcerations of blacks in America than any other bill that's come out of the Senate or Congress. So Joe Biden's bill has disproportionately locked up more blacks behind bars for drug-related crimes. And by the way, it was signed into law by Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it was drafted by a Democrat, signed by a Democrat president. And the fact of the matter is, this is Joe Biden's record. The fact is, he said he was interviewed on this recently. He said, quote, decisions were made by me in that era that trapped an entire generation of blacks. It was a big mistake when it was made. So Joe Biden is walking it back now. He's saying that crime bill that I drafted and that Democrat Bill Clinton signed that locked up more blacks than any other crime bill that's ever come out of the Senate or Congress. He says, I take it back. It's caused a lot of damage. So, this guy... This guy's now, Terry, he's trying to erase his record of the past. But the fact is, what president has signed legislation that's given blacks more freedom? Because a lot of blacks and other minorities and other people have been incarcerated because of laws that are like outdated, like giving somebody 20 years for possession of marijuana. Guess what? President Trump, he's amended this crime legislation, which is now more blacks have come out of prison and minorities for, Terry, for petty stuff that today is not even considered a crime. And so President Trump has been the best friend of minorities when it comes to signing pieces of legislation that are way out of date and detrimental to the black community.
Jesse, I also want to bring up a fact that, again, it's like the cut off arm or the little sliver that you get on your back. Many folks, businesses are funding Black Lives because it's politically correct. In other words, just, oh, yeah, we got to support that. You know, it's discrimination. But they don't realize what Black Lives Matter is all about. And so like L.A. school districts, okay, the second largest school district in the country, they're funding Black Lives Matter. Large corporations are funding. And the thing about it is this has to come out. So if you're listening and you go, let me share this with my school district, let me share this with the company I work for, why are we supporting someone who's trying to defund the police? They're trying to do all these things that get rid of the jail system and sense of locking up criminals. And we're going to support that. But if you look at the Life-Size website, that's what I always encourage people to do. Don't trust me. Read it for yourself. And I think it was Bishop Strickland 2 weeks ago said the same thing. He said, I just had to read the website and I knew that these guys were radicals and that they were against Christianity, about the fatherhood, about not having a dad at home. Give me a break. We want nothing to do with these folks. Stop funding them. And I think that the more people get this information, Jesse, the funding will dry up once people realize what they're giving their money to.
By the way, if to vote for the Joe Biden, Terry, mm-hmm. is basically a vote for Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Of course it is.
Again, donations to Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. they wind up in Joe Biden's presidential campaign.
Yep.
And so they're funding his campaign through Black Lives Matter. And again, when you type in Antifa.com on the internet, it directs you to Joe Biden's website. As I said before, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, this is nothing less than the military branch of the Democrat Party. And I'm glad a lot of people their eyes are opening up to that. Also, one more thing I want to mention.
Sure.
That police unions have dropped Joe Biden for President Trump. And this is uncommon because police unions, you know, blue collar labor union jobs, they generally, for about 40 or 50 years, they always go for the Democrat candidate. And
guess what?
They've dropped the Democrat candidate for President Trump because of all the anti-police activism supported by the Democrats.
Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Who are you associating with? Hey, we're going to come right back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Join VMPR live on YouTube September 12, 2020 for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith, plus never-before-broadcast video presentations from Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. Scott Hahn, and the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel.
And the question is, how do you understand the words of Jesus? This is my body. Not this bread is my body, but this is my body. This is the cup of my blood. And may I state categorically and emphatically that you cannot understand it. It is a mystery.
Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
Absolutely mysterious.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out his will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism. How do you score Joe Biden and Donald Trump on religion?
Important.
Once again, Dr. Bill Donahue from the Catholic League.
Yep.
He puts out some valid criticisms, and here's what he says. That on August 6th, President Trump accused Joe Biden of being against God. And he goes, when I read this on August 7th, I released the following tweet. Trump has no business smearing Biden's personal faith. When what he said is indefensible. He should stick to policy matters, not personal ones. So then, a couple of days passed by. In a political morning consult survey released in June, only 27% of registered voters said that they believe Trump to be religious. That should have given Trump pause when he slammed Biden for being against God. The question for voters, however, is not whether a candidate is personally religious. I'll leave that up to God.
Yep.
Rather, it's whether his policies are religion-friendly. Mm. And on this score, Trump wins hands down. Now, the Biden camp knows this to be true, which is why they're rolling out his personal faith credentials. You know, it's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Biden surrogates, such as E.J. Dion, they're praising his Catholic devoutness. And they're citing his remark that his faith is the bedrock foundation of his life. They have pictures of him holding the rosary. Well, that may be true, but it's also true that Biden's lust for abortion's rights, which he's more extreme now than ever before, has led Catholic priests to deny him Holy Communion. And I think his own faith and values narrative allows us to have inroads into these faith communities in ways that Democrats might previously not have been able to do so, says John McCarthy of the Biden team. Similarly, John White, a Catholic University professor, another person who's definitely tilts left, he says he's impressed that Biden carries a rosary with him. And up to a point, symbolic speech matters, you know, like carrying a rosary, but the race for the White House is not a piety parade. If that were the case, there would be few candidates from either party. The race for the faithful vote of the Catholic is about who has the best record defending religious liberty. And this is where Biden is in deep trouble. Because what specific legislation has Joe Biden sponsored that would advance this end to the culture of death? Nothing. And it's not going to do, as some have argued, to say that, oh, climate change is a pro-life issue, one that's embraced by Biden. This gambit, trying to jam matters unrelated to traditional life issues into the pro-life portfolio, has not worked in the past. It's called the seamless garment garbage.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked in the past, and they're trying to do it again, and it's not going to work this time either. For example, Donahue says, automobile safety is a life issue, but no one seriously thinks it's a pro-life issue the way abortion or euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide are. Terry?
Yeah, you know, Jesse, talk is cheap. The supply exceeds the demand. I find it more effective than what the person does rather than what he says. But still, Trump's critics say that because his personal life is marred with moral failings, people of faith cannot be taken seriously when they say they will vote for him. This common refrain deserves a serious response, Jess. And here it comes. We have to analyze these things, folks. Let's say that in a presidential race, the Republican candidate is very generous in his charitable giving. He gives to organizations that help the needy, the children, hospitals, and the like. He also has a good record hiring minorities. But here comes, his voting record on the government assistance to the poor and affirmative action is almost non-existent. So let's say the Democrat is extraordinarily stingy, giving practically nothing to charity. He also sports a lousy hiring record. His employees are almost exclusively white, but his voting record on the government assistance to the poor and affirmative action is excellent. Would it not be rational for Democrats to vote for Democrat in spite of the superior personal record of the Republican? Here, I'm going to bring a person up. He says in this article, Al Gore, we remember him. He's known to the public as the champion of the poor. Check this out, Jess. I remember this when it happened. But in 1997, the vice president and his wife, a tipper, contributed, are you ready, a whopping total of $353 to charity. Their salary was $197,729. To put it differently, let's do it differently. Their charitable giving was less than one-tenth of a typical contribution for someone with their adjusted gross income. Continue, Jess. This speaks loudly.
Yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is known to the public as a champion of affirmative action, but in 1993, when being considered for a seat in the Supreme Court, she was asked by Senator Orrin Hatch to explain why, in 13 years as a judge, not one of her 57 law clerks was black. So she said, if you confirm me to this job, my attractiveness to black candidates is going to improve. Terry, these liberals are hypocrites.
They talk is
so
cheap.
Would it make sense if someone supported government assistance to the poor not to vote for Gore because he's a miser? Or would it make sense for someone who supports affirmative action not to support Ginsburg because she's a hypocrite?
Right.
Voting involves making tough decisions,
exactly,
weighing all sorts of contrary variables, the conclusion of which is not always neat. But the mature voter will select a candidate who's best for the nation, notwithstanding his own personal shortcomings. It's the policies that should matter, not the person. Here, here.
Repeat that.
Terry, and just to... Bill Donahue says, the mature voter, the high information voter, will select the candidate who's best for the nation.
Yes.
Notwithstanding his own personal shortcomings.
That's important.
It's the policies that should matter, not the person. You want to see some of the things that would not be good for the nation if Joe Biden would become president? Did you know that Joe Biden wants Christians put on a terror list for opposing LGBTQ agenda? Yep. Joe Biden has said to the Washington Sentinel he will put Christians on terror watch list for opposing the LGBTQ and transgender bathroom agenda. Did you also know that Joe Biden said at a Muslim voter summit recently that he wants Islam to be taught in our public schools? Is this microphone on? Let me check.
Hey,
it's on.
Jesse, okay. Let me jump in for a minute. Yes, if people want that, they vote for him. If they want Roe versus Wade to continue and have more babies being slaughtered through abortion, Mr. Biden says, I'm going to continue to put Supreme Court justices that support Roe versus Wade. These are just the facts, Jesse. We can only tell people this is the fact of what you're going to be voting for if you slot your vote for that. I personally, obviously, Jesse, are you kidding me? I want nothing to do. But if you do, vote for him. You have a free choice. But I'm going to say that your choice will have responsibilities, in my humble opinion, when you meet Jesus, because he's going to be accountable for everything we do. We have to justify, in other words, saying we vote with our Catholic moral conscience. Those things that you just said, Jess, if people like him, sure, you're going to vote for him. If you don't, obviously don't.
Terry, there's also a LifeSite News article where it says Joe Biden calls killing babies and abortions essential health care.
That's right.
That cannot be delayed. So abortion is essential health care. Now, this pits him against Pope Francis,
of course.
This pits him against the USCCB.
That's right.
Both of them have come out with statements saying that that the essential issue is abortion. It's an essential issue for an election. It's an essential issue. So this pits him against the Catholic hierarchy. He's saying abortion is essential health care. The Catholic hierarchy, USCCB, Pope Francis has said the eradication of abortion is essential. It's the highest duty of a Catholic. And this is probably why, Terry, that legendary coach Lou Holtz has called Joe Biden a Catholic in name only.
Right.
I mean, when you pit yourself against the perennial magisterial teachings of the church, what else can you call him? And by the way, Joe Biden's running mate, in case you're wondering, is the biggest anti-Catholic bigot in the U.S. Senate.
Just a fact.
Her name is Kamala Harris.
Yep.
She's the most anti-Catholic vice president and the most anti-Catholic senator we've ever seen. She's demonstrated this. And I'll tell you that if Harris and Biden win, our constitutional rights are under threat. Why do I say that? Terry, she refused to prosecute Cardinal Mahoney's boys back in the pre-sexual scandal issues over in California,
right?
Because she was connected with the law firm that was representing Cardinal Mahoney, and so she refused to prosecute these sexual predators under Mahoney's watch. Also, another thing about Kamala Harris, she went after Terry, a lay Catholic, David Delight.
That's where I was just going to go. Yep, that's right.
With a camera that went to a Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
Took videos demonstrating that they sell baby body parts. He put it on the internet. He did his own investigative reporting. Instead of this guy getting a Nobel Peace Prize, Terry, she went after him with a vengeance, and she's still prosecuting him right now.
Absolutely. And Jesse, I was going to bring that up. Just the facts, folks. You have to decide on all this by knowing the information on both sides. And again, I want to encourage you to become a member of the Catholic League. I'm a member of the Catholic League. Jesse is. And it keeps you informed on the persecution of Catholics in our country. Jesse, I just want to leave people on this, that if you read the platform, again, I keep telling you this, go to Priest for Life. They have a real simple one. It's in English and Spanish of each of the party's platforms. That in itself should give you enough information to be a high information Catholic when it comes to voting for this presidential election coming up on November 3rd. Jess, I just want to take a second.
Let me demonstrate something that I mentioned. I just want to back it up for the audience that Kamala Harris is basically an anti-Catholic bigot.
Yep.
Because she was attacking this Catholic candidate that President Trump had selected to be a judge, federal
Knights
judge.
Knights of Columbus guy, yep.
And she was asking him questions about being a member of the Knights of Columbus. And the line of questioning that she was using violates Senate rules because you can't have a religious litmus test for judges. And she was basically inferring that the Knights of Columbus is some type of terrorist organization. Terry?
Unbelievable. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the way you worship is the way you believe. The frequent problem in liturgical translations here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-life.
across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here we go again. More changes. Dr. Jeffrey Myris from CatholicCulture.org writes an article called "The Frequency Problem in Liturgical Translations." The first paragraph and the last two are gold here. This is the meat of it. He says, we could argue about more important things, but I believe the most underrated problem with the new liturgical translations over the past generations is not that they're no longer Latin, and not that they have taken certain liberties with the church's official Latin text, and not even that they have sometimes been tendentious, that means biased towards, and even puerile, which means foolish or immature. All these are worth discussing, but the biggest problem has been their frequency. Their very frequency undermines our ability as lay Catholics to remember the words easily, either for public recitation or for pondering in our hearts. And here's the meat of it towards the end of the article. Mm-hmm. He's going to go back and forth. He says this. This inevitable, and he's talking about the fact that the Mass after Vatican II, it keeps evolving. Changes keep being made. Yeah. And Catholics are saying,
what's going on?
What's next? Are you kidding me? I mean, not only are our numbers are a record low of attendance, but now we're going to, and most people don't even pray or sing or anything. Okay. You just walk around. Most people don't have a Miss Lent in their parish, so they don't know. They're just like drones. They don't know what to say. Few people that go to daily Mass, they know the prayers, but now the prayers are going to change again. Look what he says here. This inevitably raises the question of going back to Latin. But that's not an option for Scripture, nor does this solve the problem I've been addressing here. The problem of helping Catholics to more deeply appropriate the words of both liturgy and Scripture in their hearts, though my own opinion scarcely exhausts the topic, I consider it neither essential nor even desirable that everyone should worship, let alone call Scripture to mind, in any language that is essentially foreign to them. I disagree with Dr. Jeffrey Myris there. I'll tell you why. Because Latin kept the church unified for how long? 1,600 years, okay? And in the Eastern liturgies, their Eastern languages have kept them unified since the 4th century. So I take issue with Dr. Jeffrey on that paragraph right there. And I think I could even prove to him that he's wrong, that a language does bind people, even if you don't speak it as your native language.
Universal.
Why? Well, The highest number of people attending Mass in the United States was before Vatican II. For 1,600 years when the Mass was in Latin, we had the highest number of Americans attending Mass. So that blows away Dr. Jeffrey Myris is saying that a language doesn't unify people. He's just wrong on that. Also, I'll tell you why else he's wrong. You know why? The fastest growing religion, I'm embarrassed to say, is extremely patriarchal and worships Allah in Arabic. Yeah, all around the world, including in prisons. And guess what? Mexican Muslims, Caucasian Muslims, Black Muslims, Chinese Muslims, they don't go to the mosque and say, can I worship God in my language? Nope. You will learn the prayers in Arabic now, Mr. Yep. Muslim. And guess what, Terry? They've learned it. And so he ends this paragraph said, It has been multiple generations since even most scholars could read Latin and centuries since the vast majority of even well-educated people could think in Latin. So whatever merits of the Latin, and clearly there are some, I do not adopt that solution. Well, I disagree with them. Terry, go ahead.
Very good, Jess. I just want to give an example for our Joe Sixpack in the pew. You can folks remember the classic example, a short prayer before Holy Communion. Lord, I am not worthy that you shall enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed. Remember, we used to say, and I will be healed. But We changed it. Here's my big comment on it. Consistency in liturgy is really reassuring. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell people the truth. When they changed that prayer, and only I shall, my dad said, nope, it's your soul that gets healed, Terry. And I remember still saying, even before they changed it back, I never said in my, I shall be healed. I always said in my soul shall be healed. So because it gave me consistency when I went to do, when I would worship God. And that to me gave me a solace that I'm looking for. And I think right now, an example of that, Jesse, is I go to the Anglican Ordinariate, and their liturgy has been around since the 1650s. And they use some old English, okay? And I had to get used to it, Jess. It was not easy for me because I don't say thou and thee and all that, but they have some old language. And you know what? It's a sacred language for them. They don't talk like that in England, but you know what they did? They had a liturgy. They had a language for just specifically the liturgy. And I think that we could learn from that. And I'm with you. Universal language is Latin. If I go to China and I go to a Catholic mass, it's in Latin. I feel more at home. If I go to Switzerland or wherever in the world, if we're all worshiping in the same language, it's called the universal language for a reason. So I'm also going to put my foot and say, I believe that we should go back to a Latin language, so a sacred language, so that when you worship, you use a language that you don't normally use for any other time except for the worship of God. And I think there's merit in that, brother.
And the Muslims are very smart about that. He also writes here in this one paragraph, I'm going to criticize him, and then I'm going to give him some kudos.
Yeah.
He says, we must also remember that no language is proof against spiritual failure. Mm-hmm. It is merely a statement of the obvious that the crisis of false renewal, which exploded in the 1960s, was initiated exclusively by those who knew and had worshipped only in Latin. And it had deep academic roots in the first half of the 20th century. Okay, here's where I disagree with him. No, it wasn't Latin that caused the crisis in the church. It wasn't the Latin language. It was Dr. Jeffrey Myers. It was the communists and the Masons that infiltrated the church way before Vatican II. And in fact, these communists and Masons knew the power of Latin, so they set out to change the mass by putting their guy in there, Archbishop Bonini.
Yeah.
And as the first point of order at Vatican II, they knew that they had to change the Latin because there was power in that language. So, again, I agree. I disagree with him. He says, "Oh, all these modernists that changed the Vatican II, they all were steeped in Latin. It wasn't the Latin that made them modernists. It was the ideology of Masonry and communism that they had embraced." He also writes, "Nonetheless, he admits here. He admits the power of Latin in this statement. He says, nonetheless." There is virtue in stability, in the stability that has been in some measure provided by Latin in the past. And that virtue needs to be recognized, not only in Catholic preaching and not only in the demeanor of the church's ministers in celebrating the sacred mysteries, but also in the art and frequency of ecclesiastical translation. So I agree. He admits that Latin used in the past provides stability in church life and helps people grow in virtue. Now, here's a great statement of his I totally agree with. This is a great criticism of the post-Vatican II modernist liturgists. He says this: liturgical and scriptural language does not cry out to be revised in every generation, let alone multiple times in the same generation. Speaking frankly, this is a significant abuse. It reflects an unbecoming spiritual restlessness on the part of the church, her scholars, and her liturgists. A restlessness indicative of preoccupation with transitory rather than permanent things. That's a great criticism of the post-Vatican II modernist liturgist. And his last paragraph is gold as well.
Yeah.
He says, I admit there must always, in human efforts, be a delicate balance. But I repeat my opinion that the greatest single problem with liturgical and scriptural translations in my lifetime has been the incessant change.
Oh, yeah.
Change that subtly communicates a serious falsehood. It should be a very high priority of the next generation to seek stability. For when liturgical stability is lacking, the church appears to be not the custodian of the eternal, but the plaything of human culture, and that may just be the greatest failure of all. That's a powerful paragraph right there,
Mary. It is. I want to bring in Abbot Boniface Luki into this conversation. 25 years ago, I interviewed him. He was one of the fathers of Vatican II, before, during, and after. And I interviewed him for 3 hours on a cassette tape. It's now a download if anybody wants to hear it. I asked him a lot of questions regarding the liturgical abuses that we see going on in the 1990s. And he said, yeah, we never envisioned any of this communion, even in the hand. No. How about did you ever have any envision that people wouldn't know their parts of the Mass in Latin? No, we had that in the documents. People were supposed to be presumed it. What about ad orientem, the priest facing the altar, the east? No, we always said that because in the document it says, and the priest turns around and says, the Lord be with you in Latin. Okay, and so all these things can be clearly articulated by one of the people that were there. I wasn't there. Jess wasn't there. Jeff Maris wasn't there. Abbot Boniface was there before, during, and after. He worked with Bunini. At least they weren't friends after the council because he is of the opinion that Bunini was not a good guy in the council. As a matter of fact, his comment was he thought he was a Mason. Now, how do you get that? It's free. You just call 877-526-215. And if you want to help us paint our church and make a donation at the same time, thanks, but you don't have to. But that three-hour download of Abbot Boniface tells it all about liturgical practice. And again, he was at the council, he was before the council, and then even after. So he should know better than Jess Romero, Terry Barber, or even Jeff Maris what went on when it comes to translations. And his name is Abbot Boniface. He's gone to his eternal reward, but I have the recordings. Call 877-526-2151 or go online. No, call me. I'll get it for you. 661-972-7872. Jess, you've heard that set in the 90s. Didn't that just blow you away, brother?
Yeah.
Come on, set it straight.
Well, it's from that point on that I knew that Houston, we've got problems.
Yeah, you got it.
And that's why they attacked the Mass. That's the very first thing that the Masons, modernists went after.
Yep.
At Vatican II, because they knew the power of that Mass.
Yep.
They knew the stability, the way people grew in virtue.
Well, the way you worship is the way you believe.
Yeah. And so they had to. Terry, here's one last thing I'm going to mention. All of us are going to have an exit interview.
We sure are.
And the Bible says, to whom much has been given, much is expected.
Amen.
If you're a Catholic politician, you were given some serious power in this lifetime. If you're a Catholic congressman or senator or a president, you were given tremendous power in this lifetime. When Joe Biden and the Kennedys and every other pro-abortion Catholic dies, Terry, they're going to go to their exit interview, and there's going to be a jury there. You know who the jury's going to be? 60 million babies that were killed. And when our Lord Jesus Christ looks at that person and says, why should I let you into heaven? I got 60 million voices asking for me to give you what you deserve. 60 million voices in the jury box.
Powerful.
Terry, that's going to be a very sobering day for most of these Catholic politicians if they don't repent, because they're jumping over the trapdoor of hell right now.
Absolutely. Up next is Dr. Sandoval. Wow, spiritual warfare at its best. Jess, real quick, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not the state of mortal sin, not the state of despair, the state of hopelessness, the state of grace. And as Catholics, let's get holy or let's die trying. And as good baseball players, football players, when we go back to our exit interview, let's make sure that we left it all out on the field.
Amen. You're listening to Terry and Jesse. Thanks so much. Up next, Dr. Sandoval. May God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.